In the day that we are living in, we can have a present day truth that's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. He that overcometh, I will give him the bride and the morning star, and the day star shall dawn in your heart. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is what the church needs. I know we read of the book of Revelation, and that's good. But what we need to do is to have the spirit of revelation. Now, it's good to read the book of Revelation. Nothing better that I know of. But see, reading the book of Revelation or having the book of Revelation, that's not sufficient for your salvation and for the plan of God. God has never intended for salvation to stand within the printed pages of a book. That's never been God's plan. God's plan is to reveal himself from within a human being. When God was in the earth in the days of Jesus, where was God at? God was in a human being. And if God ever returns into this world, where will God be? He will return in a human being. For the Bible said that God shall suddenly return into his temple, into his saints, to be glorified within his saints. If God was in the person of Jesus at the beginning of this thing, then God, at his returning or coming, will still be in the person of Jesus. How do you believe that you're that person tonight? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's what Paul called the revelation of Jesus Christ, coming to understand those things. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Well, perhaps the reason you don't is because you don't understand that. Some people don't believe it because they don't understand it. But if you ever came to understand it, you might feel different about it altogether. So then the revelation of Jesus Christ simply means Christ revealed to the world from within your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we get excited over it because Paul the Apostle received the revelation of Jesus Christ and exhorted us that we should contend for the faith, that we ourselves should pray till God give to us the spirit of revelation. Not only did he do that, but Paul said, I magnify my office. See, that was his office. How many of you know some people got an office in the earth? I know we've got some offices around here. God's got some offices. And Paul said, I magnify my office. God's given me an office job. And my office, I magnify it, he said. And he said, I'm the apostle to the Gentile church. That's a big statement, isn't it? You notice he didn't say, me and Peter, or me and John. He didn't say me and Timothy. He didn't say we're the apostle to the Gentile church, did he? He said, I am the apostle to the Gentile church. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then some of you have an office. What the office is, I don't know unless God reveals it to me. But your office may be as Paul's office was. It's one thing for sure. If it's not in harmony with Paul's office, you don't have an office. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Paul said, if any of you think themselves to be spiritual, let you acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of God. So if we feel like we're spiritual tonight, the first thing we need to recognize is that what Paul said is the commandments of God. And if what we're saying, Paul was just, you know, simply saying if what you're saying don't agree with what I have stated, then it's nothing. It's sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So then, I want to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ and try my best to to share a little something with you. I ask you again, how many of you are glad you're here tonight? You really love the Lord? There's a lot of things that we could say, but I don't know of anything that I could tell you that would do you as much good as the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't believe that anybody in our day has the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I do. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you just come right out and say you've got it? I mean to tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why I tell you that I've got it? Because I have got it. Now, if I told you I had it and I didn't have it, I would be a liar. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. But I do have the revelation of Jesus Christ because God gave it to me. And I'm thankful for it. I'm very grateful. He didn't give it to me because I deserved it nor merited it. I wasn't good. That wasn't why I got it. I got it because of the grace of His Son and what He did at Calvary, because I was hungering and thirsting after Him. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts, he shall be filled. So then I've got it tonight, and I thank God that I've got it. I appreciate it. And if I can share it with you, then I will. The Bible said, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Say, well, do you believe that you're a prophet? How do you know we're in the days of excelling? Sons of God. How do you believe the Son of God is greater than a prophet? We're sons of God. All right. I want to read just a little bit from the epistle of Paul to Titus. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. I like that, don't you? According to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world begun, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, nor soon angry, nor given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, low bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure. All things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing themselves a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Here Titus, the epistle of Paul to Titus, he tells us that God has promised eternal life to us through Jesus Christ, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. How do you believe in preaching? You know, a lot of people don't believe in preaching, but I believe in preaching. That's why I preach. God hath manifested his word through preaching. Now, I want to step up here for just a few minutes, and I may not stick with the board tonight. I may move around. I may just stand here. I don't know just what I'll do. But I want to read a little scripture, and there's some thoughts on my mind, if the Lord will see fit to bring them out. If not, then I'll just exhort you a little bit and let you go home. But I want to say something good about Jesus tonight. On the board, as you can see, and I don't believe that we've got any teaching on video yet. If we happen to stick with the board tonight, it'll probably be the first time that we've got anything on video concerning teaching, because up until this point, I don't know of anything. But if you'll notice the board, and some of you are familiar with it because we have had reference to it from time to time, Brother Taylor has carefully divided the board off into three sections, beginning here at the bottom, which we liken to the natural perspective of things. And then the middle part here, we call the physical part of it. And then the top part here that we call the spiritual part. Natural, physical, spiritual. First power, second power, third power. First dimension, second dimension, third dimension. I say it in that way that you'll be able to constitute within your mind a formulated thought pattern. But if you ever go to express it, you'll have sufficient vocabulary expression to be able to tell people what you believe and what you understand. All right. In the second realm is where all the problems are. Have you noticed that Brother Taylor has here in the second realm Calvary? The reason for that is because there is a great battle in the second realm. How many can see the board out from where you're at? Would you lift your hands up? Okay. In the second realm is where the battle is. We refer to the cross experience as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I am convinced that everything that God has ever done, everything that God will ever do, is within Calvary. A few years ago, perhaps I couldn't have made that statement because I didn't understand that so much could be placed within Calvary. But Calvary holds the great mystery of God in its completeness. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. He was seen of angels. He was justified in the Spirit. He was caught up into heaven. And everything that God is, everything that God was, everything that God shall ever be, is within the Son of God, within Jesus. I've said this so many times that there is no yesterday with God. And there is no tomorrow with God. God is, God was, and God shall be. Even from everlasting to everlasting, so God is. When God sent Moses down into Egypt, and Pharaoh said, "Who sent you, Moses?" God said, "Moses, tell Pharaoh, I am has sent thee." The reason for that is because God is a present God. There is no future with God. You know, we look forward to the future, but with God there is no future. Some people have a habit of looking back into the past, but with God there is no past.
Amen.
There never has been a yesterday with God. And there never will be a tomorrow to God. God is. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? To us there is a yesterday, to us there is a tomorrow. That makes us time creatures. That makes us creatures that's subject to death. But not with God. There is no night and day with God. There is no darkness with God. And it is God's good pleasure to deliver us from the dark veil of evil and the dark veil of night. It is God's desire to make us even as God is, to make us one with Himself. Man has a day and man has a night. And man has a life and man has death. All because he rejected the plan of God. All because somebody in the Garden of Eden refused to take the words of life and to hold steadfast to the words of life. Because of that, today man is caught within a circumstantial environment that spells death and sorrow and sickness to him. God has sent his own Son in the likeness of the sinful image of the fallen man, has paid the penalty that was imposed upon mankind, has stretched out a hand of compassion and grace to you and to me, has beckoned from the hilltops of glory and has asked us to come away from suffering and sickness and heartaches and sorrow simply by believing in His finished work. I accepted His invitation. When the great supper was made, God sent out the invitation and said, "Give an invitation to this great supper." The parable tells us that all that refused this invitation, after which God said, "Go out and burn their cities, destroy their vineyards." God has sent out a great invitation to the supper. And He's asked you and I to come and attend the supper. And the ones that refuse to come to the supper, God is going to hurl the bombs upon their cities. God is going to shake their cities to the ground. John said in the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, "I saw the cities of the world, the cities of the nation literally crumble to the ground." So then God has sent an invitation. He has beckoned to you and I. He has given us His commandment, His desire. But have we received the invitation? The gospel has gone into all the earth, but has people believed our report? God has seen fit to express life by human or oral expression. He has seen fit for someone like me or a minister to bring to you the words of life. Wonderful words, beautiful words, beautiful words of life. God is so ordained that we can hear those words. "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he hath passed from death unto life." and he shall never come into the condemnation. Because he has passed from death unto life. The darkness is no more. Hallelujah. The darkness has passed away. God has made us free, and God has set us free. And today we don't have to live in the darkness. We don't have to be a creature of time. I expounded just a few days ago to the people the way to come out of the dimensions of time. I expressed to them how that in Christ Jesus time is no more. How that you can escape the dimensions of time, the barriers of time. How you can cross over the boundaries of worlds and go into another dimension, into another world. That's within the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I don't believe that. I know that you don't believe that. But that's what I'm trying to do, is to convince you of it, that you might believe it. Because it's God's desire that you believe it. It's God's will that you believe it. There is no way to escape death unless you do believe it. You've got to believe to be saved. God is a spirit. No man can see God. No man has ever seen God. No man can see God. No man has ever seen God at any time. God is the spirit. God is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Jesus Christ alone dwells within that revelation. How do you know that when God speaks of light, he's not talking about this kind of light? I've illustrated that many times. God isn't talking about natural light. But that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you might be able to comprehend the heights, comprehend the depths, and comprehend the width. God is a great light. God is a great spirit. God is a great understanding. That's what light is. It's an understanding. Solomon said, with wisdom get understanding. God is a great light, a great power of understanding. And we move from dimension to dimension through our understanding, through the enlightenment of our eyes. That's why the Bible tells us to pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. May God grant to the church tonight the spirit of revelation. May we come into a greater dimension of God, a greater understanding of God. May our hearts hunger. May we thirst until we are filled with the glories of God. God being a spirit, he desires to fill your innermost being. But God cannot do that unless you hunger and thirst for the things of God. But when you become exceedingly hungry and exceedingly thirsty, something begins to take place. Like the little woman that pressed in to touch the hem of his garment, Brother Taylor. There was many people around, but nobody was getting anything. But the little woman, through perseverance, through faith, and through confidence in what she'd heard about Christ, she pressed in to touch the hem of his garment. And when she got close enough to touch the hem of his garment, she turned her faith over into the hands of God, and all of a sudden she felt something coming down from glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says she felt within her body that Christ had healed her. And the Lord felt the contact. Jesus said, I perceive that virtue has gone out of my body. Isn't that wonderful? That's when the Bible said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. Where is the virgin church of God? Where is the virgin church of God? I read the scripture to you tonight that God has called us unto holiness. God has called us unto a place to where we can get away from the world. Stay away from the things of the world and become holy. And become virtuous. A virgin unto God. For the prophecy said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And she'll bring forth the image of the Son of God. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. What is that image on the inside? What is that Christ on the inside that's the hope of glory? Hallelujah. The Bible said Jesus stood on the mountain and appeared in glory. The glory of his unveiled face. What is that glory? What is the calling of that great glory of God? What is the glory of God? These lights that's shining down on me right here. are almost blinding because they're so bright. What is that? That is an enlightenment. That is a glory. What is the glory of God? The great enlightenment of the mind of Jesus Christ. The glory of God made an expose to my heart and to yours. What is that great glory coming down from God? It's that unseen light that's unseen by the world, but we see it. What does that glory do? It translates me into the image of my Master. Hallelujah. That great glory, the enlightenment of Christ coming in my heart. I am changed from glory to glory, from light to light, from faith to faith. That light is so wonderful. That light is so great. That light is so powerful, springing up from within me. That's why Moses stepped down off of the mountain and had to put a veil over his face. That inner light was springing out. That glory of God was springing out. That knowledge of Christ. He had been on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He had been communing with the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And on the mountain he was communing with that Word. And that Word was speaking to Moses, and Moses was speaking that Word. And after a while, the Moses got so intermingled with God, and Moses' spirit and God's spirit got so intermingled, till it was no longer Moses, but it was God. That great power of enlightenment springing up from within. And as that great light sprang up from within, Moses, unaware of the illumination upon his body, he came down from the mountain and he stood in the midst of them. And they said, Moses, we can't look. Oh, Moses, we can't look. Hallelujah. What was the matter? The Bible said wisdom makes a man's face to shine. They said, Moses, we can't look. And Moses slipped the veil over. Hallelujah. Said, we can't look at you, God. But if you'll just slip the veil of your Son over that Shekinah and let us look at you through the blood atonement, we'll be happy. If you'll just hide yourself behind the badger skin, we'll be satisfied. Isn't that right? The light was so bright they couldn't look at it. But brethren, Paul, in his great revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, if that light was so bright and so great that the people could not look at it, and yet that was considered to be the lesser light, in the sense that a greater expose of it was to come, what would be the light of the latter time but the light of the world? And the Bible said a great angel came down from heaven having a light, and the whole world was lightened with the glory of that light. If that light was glorious, how much more glorious is this light that we've come into? That is to excel the light of that light that came in the earlier times of Moses. Hallelujah. The glory of God, the light of God, ever since Calvary there's been an unveiling of the Christ. From Adam all the way down to Calvary there was Christ, but it was God within the veil. It was God as a precipitation of mist that would come down from heaven. It was here a little and there a little and line upon line and precept upon precept. But the light grew stronger and the light grew brighter. And the light continued to shine out of darkness. Hallelujah. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and the light shined out of darkness. Hallelujah. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Hallelujah. And that light is shining within my heart. Hallelujah. And ever since the garden experience, the light has been within the veil. And Paul the apostle, when he refers back to it, knowing that it was a veiled light or a veiled glory of God, he expresses it after this fashion, saying that there was a time when it was must to be unveiled. But it has been veiled since the garden experience. But it was a time when it was to be unveiled. And that unveiling was to be Calvary, when the veil was to be rent in twain, and that in the unveiling that the light would be sevenfold in the last day. Hallelujah. Ever since Calvary, there's been an expression of God. One angel came and he sounded his message, and the light grew. And then another messenger of the age came and sounded the trumpet, and the light grew. And another messenger came and he sounded the trumpet, and the light grew. But then when the lights continued to grow until all was finished, then each light going into another light, constituting a sevenfold light for the end time to the believer. So then today we don't have the sounding of one messenger. We don't have the sounding of the first messenger or the second messenger as an individual thing. We don't have the former reign of God as an individual thing. But he promised to give us the former and the latter in the last days. For I will give you all of it at one time, God said. There will come a time when I'll not have to stand before you veiled. There will come a time when you won't say, as it was said to Moses, put a veil over us. For God said, that veil to me is a middle wall of partition that separates me from my people. Anytime there is an intellectual veil that has to express me, God isn't pleased with it. God has never wanted an intellectual expression between him and his people. God has never wanted a printed page. It's called a Bible. God has never wanted an intellectual theory of what God is. It's never been God's pleasure to set up seminaries and people around the earth to express God to them or to the people. But it's God's pleasure that we, just as Moses did, stand on the mountain and see God face to face. That God is a spiritual revelation. And God wants to express himself to us as a spiritual revelation. Jesus spoke as an oral expression. He gave forth the human utterance. But as he did, he continued to exhort the people. And he kept saying, my words are spirit. My words are spirit. And even the 70 that worked the great miracles that went out from Jesus Christ, they still was not able to interpret the word. They were not able to understand that God's word was spirit. And they were separated from God. Because of that, after great miracles, after a great ministry. But Jesus had 12, and one of them said, why is it that you say these things to those people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? Why is it that you have an intellectual parabolic expression that goes to the listening ear when people don't understand the spiritual depths and understanding that's behind that parabolic speech? Why do you speak to them in parables, the writer said. Jesus said, for it's not given unto them to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. My words are spirit, my words are mysteries. But it's not given to the world to understand the mysteries. But unto you it is given. And Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Though the gospel is a simple gospel that I can preach or you can preach, and telling men to repent of their sins and praying the prayer of faith, trusting God for healing and deliverance. But brethren, when it comes to the divine translation of the church, when it comes to that which is to be the bride of Christ, it's going to take the revelation of God. You say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because the 12 turned after the 70 had left and they said, we don't know where to go. You alone have the words of life. You have the words of life. What was the 12? The 12 was the bride of Christ. Somebody would say, but where do you get it that they were the bride of Christ? Because you find in the city of Jerusalem in the foundation their names.
And the angel said, when he saw the city, he said, I saw the great city Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. It is not given unto them to know the mistress, but unto the bride it is given. Hallelujah. So then the revelation of Jesus Christ doesn't belong to the world. If you've got a ministry, go preach, that's good. If you've got a ministry, go tell them about healing, go tell them about repentance. But the revelation of Christ belongs to the bride. It's the message to the church. It is what God has reserved to use to close out the revival with and to close the world out. We are the bride of Christ. We have something different. Solomon put away the concubines, and so did David, by giving them gifts. But he turned to Bathsheba, and hers was the kingdom. The one that God favors, the kingdom belongs to him. Boaz let many people glean in his field. He had maidens that reaped in the field, but Ruth alone was the bride of Boaz. Hallelujah. So then there is many in the world today that's church people. There are many that come to Little Bethlehem. There are many that go to the Baptist and the Methodist church in different places around the nation. But only a small minority is the bride of Jesus Christ. They that cleave to Christ as Ruth did to Naomi. They that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They that want to conform to his thought and to his way and to his desire to be just exactly what he is. And what is he tonight? He is the Word. Hallelujah. He is the Word. There's people all over the nation that's going about trying to memorize the scriptures. I had a young fellow that come here that preached for me. He was like a walking Bible. He started quoting the scripture from the very beginning of his sermon and continued to quote it unto the end of his sermon. But that means exactly nothing in the sight of God. All of the quotation of the scripture means nothing in the sight of God. Many long years ago, as a young man in God, I started to trying to quote the scripture. I started to try to memorize the scripture. And I thought, Lord, this is wonderful. I would hear people get up and quote a passage of scripture. And I thought, God, this is wonderful. I can hear them quote the scripture. And I know that that's what God wants. But God stopped me and he said, that isn't what I want. I don't want you quoting the scripture. He said, my words are spirit and my words are life. And he said, you can quote the scripture from cover to cover and know nothing about God. There are people that have what we call a photostatic mind, Jim. They can quote the scripture, but that's no good. Usually men that quote the scripture or study to quote the scripture usually wind up as reprobates, just going about fussing with each other and trying to prove what they know and how great they are. That is just as much the intellectual veil as anything that God has ever let come into the world. To quote the natural scripture, that's not sufficient. But until we can come to the place to where we can make divine contact with the heavenly spirit, we are not making any progress in God. I've got to come to the place to where I can feel God's presence. That I can commune with God on a level that I can understand. I've got to realize that God is not an intellectual letter, that God is not a printed page, but God is the Spirit. And I've got to make contact with the Spirit of God. I've got to get into the Spirit of God. I come here to minister to you, and so often I stand here, but there's no contact with you. It's like you're dead receptacles. Like Jesus, as he walked in the midst of the people, he was a living dynamo for God. He was charged with the power of God. He was moved with the Spirit of God. But as he walked in the midst of them, he found one little lady that had faith. There was no contact with him. Though he had the Spirit of God within him, though he had the power of God within him, there was no contact.
Many pressed him. Many was around him. But there was no contact. But after a while, a little woman that had premeditated, a little woman that had planned what she was going to do when Jesus came by, a little woman that set her face toward God and begin to meditate in the laws of God and begin to build up her most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. She kept watching till the Son of God came by. And when the Son of God came by, somebody probably cried out and said, "Here he comes, here he comes, here he comes." And the great ecstasy of God began to roll within her heart, and her faith began to reach up to an all-time high, and she began to turn in the direction of the shout, and she began to watch until that figure approached and got closer and closer and closer to her. And when she saw the wonderful Christ standing with it in the midst of the people, she began to cry out in her heart, "Oh God, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be healed." And she made contact. Hallelujah. I've been preaching tonight and I've not felt one of you make contact. I got a church full of people and I've not felt one of you make contact. Not one of you. Preachers, I haven't felt you make contact. Women, I haven't felt you make contact. I haven't felt anybody make contact. Not anybody. But this woman made contact with God. There was something that was in the heart of Christ that she wanted. And she knew that that which was in the heart of Christ she was going to have. Jesus preached to the people. He stood there and he preached a great message. He told them about the love of God, but they didn't make contact. A lot of times preachers will preach a sermon. They'll come and they'll say wonderful things to you and tell you about the wonderful ways of God. But they leave never having made contact. Jesus stood and preached a message, but they didn't make contact. But this little woman, finally she looked toward Christ and she made contact with God and she received him in the name of a prophet, and she received a prophet's reward. He was the prophet, likened to Moses. The prophet that was to come, and the Bible said, "Whosoever faileth to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people." Hallelujah. I made contact. I made contact. That's why that I have the revelation of Jesus Christ today, is I made contact. I can stand here in your midst and you're not making contact with me, but I make contact with him. I can go home and pray when you're not around, and I can make contact with Christ. I can make contact with God, but can you make contact with God through the minister? So then, the revelation of Jesus Christ is to the bride, to those that can make contact. The healing virtue is within the veil of the body of Jesus. Even in the days of Solomon, when the stones was laid, when everything was put together and the temple was in order, it was said that if anybody looks toward this temple and calls on God, that they will be healed. Because that great temple represented God in the earth. The virtue was within the temple. The virtue today is still within the temple of God. Though it be many members of the body that's in the earth today, stone upon stone, yet that virtue of God, that divine virtue, is hid within that temple of many members that's in the earth. The revelation of Jesus Christ, from the time that Jesus hung here at Calvary, the veil was rent and the veil was taken away. Paul said, even though the veil is taken away in Christ to the believer, yet the veil remains over the eyes of those that don't understand. In the reading of the Old Testament, he said that fleshly intellectual veil still is over the minds of the people. In the reading of the Old Testament, untaken away even until this day. But the veil is done away with in Christ. God is a spirit. God is the great light. And he said in the latter time that shall come to pass that the light shall be sevenfold.
It shall not be as it has been in times gone by. It shall not be the sounding of a messenger that may come forth in a church age, as we use the terms. Somebody tells us that one messenger came forth, another came forth, and they say that Brother Branham came and ended the church ages. Oh, this is wonderful. But according to the Bible, in the latter times, the light was to be sevenfold. It wasn't to come forth as a messenger. It was to come forth as a sevenfold light, which was to be the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the sevenfold light of God? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is no light that outshines the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though the prophets prophesied in the early days, Elijah did great miracles and prophesied of the coming of Jesus. And so did Elisha do great miracles and prophesy of the coming of Jesus. And so did Moses do great miracles and prophesy of the coming of Jesus. But they did not have the revelation of Jesus. That was a light. And John said, you was willing to walk in that light when he exhorted the Jews. For a season, he said, you was willing to walk in that light. But then he pointed to something that was greater than that. He said, I bring the end of the law and the prophets, but there's one that's standing among you whom I'm not worthy to stoop and loose the shoes. Said, it is he that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Said, his fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat into the garners, and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. For there is one greater than John. There is one greater than John that's coming. The veil was rent in twain. And I tried so carefully to express, the Lord Jesus made in himself twain. He made in himself two. The writer said both Lord and Christ. He was both the Lord and the Christ. That is, he was both man and God. He made within himself the Lord and the Christ. He made within himself the first man, Adam, that fell in sin, that suffered the penalty of the wrath of God as an expulsion from the garden. When Jesus hung on Calvary and the wrath of God was poured upon him, it denoted Adam in the expulsion from the garden. God turned his back on Adam. He turned his wrath on Adam. He put Adam out of the garden and belabored among the thorns for his bride. And Jesus is seen here at Calvary. He is out of the presence of God. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why has there been an expulsion from your presence? As the thorns was placed upon his head, the first man, Adam, had to die. The penalty had to be paid. But I'm glad that God didn't stop there. I'm glad that Christ didn't stop there. Hallelujah. The first man, Adam, paid the penalty. The first man, Adam, went to Calvary. The first man, Adam, had to die. Because the veil had to be taken away. And the Christ had to be made an expose. That inner Christ, that second man Adam, that Lord from heaven. Hallelujah. That God of heaven had to step forth from within the mold. That Christ, that sevenfold light had to come out. And when the sevenfold light stepped out of the vesture of Jesus, it was too bright for the earth to receive. The sevenfold light that stepped forth from the vesture of Jesus was too bright. The world could not receive it. The world could not understand it. And so then God caught it up into heaven and set it at his right hand and refused to let it come back into the earth until he had taken seven messengers. They called the candlesticks of God and began to expose that light one little bit at a time. And that light, that Christ that went away with God, began to manifest himself one messenger at a time. until seven messengers or seven parts of that great light had been manifested in the earth. One little bit at a time the light came. That light was manifested, and then another light came. And that light was manifested, and then another light came. And the light began to grow brighter and brighter and brighter. And we are moving from light to light. And the great church age messengers has brought a light. But the final analysis of that great light was to be a sevenfold light, which was to be called the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of the Son of God Himself. For the light in the evening time shall be sevenfold. The light that's unveiled itself, that unveiled itself at Calvary. That light has been growing brighter. You don't understand that light. The reason is because you've never seen that light. I can tell in talking to you tonight that you don't understand that light. That you've never seen that light. That that light has never come into your heart and into your life. I can tell that you don't understand it. I can tell that you don't see it. As the vision that I had when I stood in heaven and the multitudes of the earth stood and looked up. And I looked down upon them and I tried to show them the great light. And I tried to show them the things of heaven. But in the vision, no one could see it. But it was there. The great light of God. Sevenfold. The great light of God in the earth. The revelation of Jesus Christ. In the end time, there is but one that will receive it. That's the bride of Christ. That's the membership of His body. We're just on the verge of the great outburst of this light. We're just now coming into the age of the great breaking forth of this great light that is to go into all the world. This great understanding of God, this great surmounting light that's to be sevenfold in the end time. We're just coming to the place now to where we're going to be able to comprehend the heights and the depths and the width. We've always had the theory, you know, mankind that is, that there's just some things that God doesn't want us to know. And men have confessed down through the ages that there was just some things that they didn't know. But I confess to you tonight that I have an unction from the Holy One that I should know all things. I confess to you tonight that Jesus said, what my Father has made known to me, I've made known to you, Brother Pike. Hallelujah. I made the statement just recently that so far as I know, there is not one unanswered question in my heart concerning God. To the satisfaction of my soul, I know not one. Though my life has been filled with questions for many years, I have continually been in question asking God many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things. But God has carefully opened up and made me to know everything I've ever asked Him. And you that do not have the answer, it's because you did not make contact. You did not make contact with that divine spirit. If you'd ever made contact with that spirit, then you would have known of this that I speak. The light sevenfold in the end time. We've come to the end time. And now the sevenfold light is beginning to shine. The sevenfold light, you say, what will it do, Brother Pike? It will rapture the church. It will translate the church. What is the translation of the church? Not a catching up as intellectually has been expressed down through the years. But what is the rapture of the church? It is a divine translation from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Moving from glory to glory until we come to the perfect image of Jesus Christ. That divine expression of God, that divine presence of Christ, that glory that's sevenfold that was to shine out of darkness in my life to bring me into the full stature of the Son of God. That light springing out from Calvary, it began here at Calvary. Hallelujah. And even though, as Samson, it was taken down into the dungeon,
and the locks was cut away, and the Jewish people that wandered in darkness as a scapegoat from Calvary, as the veil was rent, denoted the falling into the hands of Delilah. And those seven locks that expressed the mysteries of God was taken away. And they had to go down into the dungeon. But just as Joseph came out of the dungeon, so came Samson out of the dungeon. And those locks began to grow. Back through the church age, as we see it in the church age messengers, as the locks begin to grow back in the light that was cut off from Israel, that was taken from the world in the fall of Adam, that light began to grow. Those locks begin to grow step by step as the church has been grinding in the dungeon of the dark age. Coming on down step by step, they begin to grow. And they've grown back to where the light is sevenfold. And the strength of Samson is again in the church to prevail against the powers of evil. And the world can't withstand it. Sevenfold, light of the evening time, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The locks of Samson going back, restored, that down at the end of the church ages, as is seen in Revelation 12. That at the time when the woman has her feet on the moon, which is referred to typically as America, that there was to be a man-child that was to be caught up to the throne. And that great man-child that was to be caught up to the throne was to rule with a rod of iron. He was to be caught up from this dimension into the third dimension and set upon the throne of God. He wasn't to be caught up just to sit at the right hand of God. He wasn't to be caught up just to be a part of God, but he was caught up to sit down in the throne with God. You know, when you speak of kings, a lot of people get all stirred up. You talk about God having kings in the earth, where the Bible speaks of kings, it'll be in the new earth. People get beside themselves. But I've got greater testimony than that tonight. I'm telling you of somebody that'll be so close to God that God will catch them up. He will not prepare a throne for them, because God will make them to sit down in his own throne with him. He that overcometh in this which I speak of, Jesus said, he shall sit down in the throne with me. Hallelujah. So then, when that great man-child was caught up, when the seven lights was to be restored, when the full strength of the child was to come back, then the same Christ that was unveiled, that was too bright at Calvary, the same Christ was to return after the church ages. And in the returning after the church ages, we was to see the full restoration of Samson's lock. We was to see that same strength of Samson demonstrated once again. We was to see the power of the rule with the rod of iron, bringing in what we refer to as a great millennium government. Not a Jimmy Carter government. Not a Ford government or a President Roosevelt government. Not as the kings and queens of the earth, but as one great sovereignty that shall rule heaven and earth with a rod of iron, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. After the church ages, the sevenfold light was to come. And in the coming of the sevenfold light, we was to have the rapture. What is happening? The rapture is taking place and you are missing it. The rapture is taking place and you are missing it. Not the bride of Christ, but you are missing it. The people that come to little Bethlehem, there's numbers of you that's missing the rapture. You people that come down from the Carolinas, some of you are missing the rapture. Many of you that come down from the Carolinas, I find out that you go back up there and you sit around and you bicker and bite. You devour and you take me to pieces down here. And you take little Bethlehem to pieces. And while you're doing it up there, God has given visions down here of how that the devil is literally tearing you to pieces. And how that you're bleeding to death from the evil powers of the satanic forces of the beast. But you're missing the rapture because of those things. people at little Bethlehem that take this thing apart, that devile, that doesn't have the love of God. People from Tennessee, people from the Carolinas, people from the different places round and about that bicker and backbite and find fault. You've never made the contact with God. You've never made the contact with God. There was a man that came here from the Carolinas. He came to me in tears. Supposed to be an extremely godly man. A good man. But the Lord let me know that the man was a troublemaker. And that if he come to little Bethlehem, he'd be a troublemaker. And that what he needed to do was get right with God. Let me tell you something, friend. Just because you come crying, that doesn't mean anything. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but he never did find any place of repentance. Crying doesn't mean you've got anything. People cry for numerous of reasons. But God is concerned not about your tears, but rather about your conduct in the presence of God. God is concerned about the way that you order your life. God is concerned about your motives in life. And people that do the things that that man is doing will wind up in bad trouble. They will eventually lose their life or wind up in a wheelchair, or something bad will take place. I've never seen it fail yet. I've watched the troublemaker. It always happens that way. I went to a man not too long ago that sat in this church. I picked up his spirit. He was supposed to be a very religious man, a man that loved God, a very learned man. But God showed me the man was a troublemaker. And I went to him and I told him, I said, "Sir, you are a troublemaker." Right to his face, and it made him angry. But it wasn't but a few days and he was dead and passed away. Because when you are a troublemaker, God isn't going to let you continue. You cannot make trouble. There's people in this community that has made trouble for little Bethlehem. And it appeared that God had let them by because he'd been long-suffering and been merciful to them. But my friend, some of them are on the verge of the deathbed right now, ready to drop headlong into the pit unless God has mercy. Why? Because they've been a troublemaker. One man made the statement the other day for no reason at all. He doesn't know me. I've never done anything to him. I've never met him. But he told somebody, said, "I'd give $100 to see somebody give that preacher a whipping." For what reason? Because the devil has him. Because it's the devil speaking out of him. Not only would the devil like to see me get a whipping, but the devil would like to see my throat slit. One other man made the same statement. Said not only would he like to see me get a whipping, but he thought he'd just do it. In just a few days, somebody slit his throat. His own brother slit his throat and he was dead. You can't make trouble with God. You can't gossip. You can't backbite. You can't come down here and find something and go back to the Carolinas and tear this to pieces without God putting you in your grave. Only a fool would do things like that. What you don't understand, leave alone. What you can't understand, receive it. If you know something of the devil, reject it. But it is a true fact that down through my lifetime, I've met one after another that's come face to face with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And because they refuse to go on, God has placed them within their tombs. People are dead. People have gone off the scene. Not one, not two, not three, but many people. I've talked to them, and within a few days, they would be dead. They would be gone. They would have passed off the scene. Why? Because you cannot be a troublemaker. When you come face to face with this message, it isn't like any other message. You may come face to face with a message out there, and God may let you by with it, because a lot of things are going on in part. But when you come face to face with the truth of God and the light of Jesus Christ, you can't play with it. You can't go back out in the world and bicker and bite. You can't come here and lift up your hand against God and speak against this and go back out there and prosper. God will kill you. I've had people to come here. They were so sure that they were different from anybody else. They were so sure that God favored them. They were so sure that they could say it and get by with it. But they did not. Everyone that I know of has met identically the same fate. And some of you that are sitting in our midst tonight are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead because you wouldn't listen. I had a young fella to come to me just the other day. I've warned him and warned him and warned him. And he wouldn't listen. And he came to me and he said, Brother Pike, he said, I saw you in a vision the other night. He said, and in this vision said, you turned to me. And you said, you've had your last chance. That's sad, folks. But some of you are having your last chance. Some of you are going to wind up with heartaches, troubles. If you're not careful, you'll lose your loved ones. Things has already happened to some of you, and many more things is about to happen to some of you. Why? Because the light is sevenfold, it's evening time, and the Bible teaches that when we come to the knowledge of the truth, then if we reject it and turn away, there is no more remission for sin. But only the fearful looking for of the judgment and a fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries of God. You understand what I'm saying? It is a critical time. It is a time of sorrow and suffering. A time when I can feel the Spirit of God withdrawing. A time when I can tell that God is getting weary with the people. And that more and more He's withdrawing. That's why you've got the tornadoes. That's why you've got the ice. That's why you've got the snow. I made the statement here not too long ago. I said this winter is going to be a typical tribulation. And I said as God's Spirit begins to withdraw from the earth, you're going to go through the horrors and sorrows and terrors of God forsaking you and leaving you here. And as that thing comes on, we're going to understand that God is angry with the people. I saw it in a vision. I saw Him as He began to withdraw. I saw as it became too late for man to call on God. And folks, the tribulation period is around the corner. And already these things are beginning to happen. Why are they happening? Because you don't have any concern for God. You will not listen to the gospel. You will not stop bickering and backbiting. You will not fast. You will not pray. You will not unite with the brotherhood. But you're still bickering and biting and devouring. You will not quit, that is. You will not quit those things. You understand what I'm saying? The tribulation is setting in. The mercies of God withdrawing. The grace of God's being taken away. Because you won't leave off with those evil devourings. And the mercies of God is withdrawing. The mercies of God is lifting. And as God's grace is lifted from the earth, there's nothing left but tears. Heartaches and sorrows and woes. Famines and pestilence and droughts. Sicknesses and diseases. As God's Spirit lifts, you'll become cold and indifferent and careless and won't be able to make that contact. Tonight, I've not felt one of you make a contact tonight. Not one of you. Though I've probably spent probably 30, 40 minutes at least preaching to you. But I've not felt one of you make a contact tonight. Why is that? Surely there's people of God here tonight. But why is it there's no contact? Why is it? It was like Peter. Peter had faith. But when condemnation got in his heart, he couldn't make any contact. When condemnation got in his heart, he couldn't lift his faith. Why do you have problems? Because the shield of faith goes down. When the shield of faith goes down, the devil comes in. It's because you're not living like you ought to. It's because you're not hungering, not thirsting. I doubt very seriously if we've got anybody in here that's prayed at least 25 or 30 hours in the last month for the services. A survey showed not too long ago, 2 or 3 minutes out of a day was what the preacher prayed. Maybe a minute and a half, even in the church of God. The church of God was about a minute and a half that the people prayed, calling on God out of a day. Can God move like that? How do you believe God can move like that? You believe that He can? You got to call on God, and you got to have a pure heart to call on God. If you've got a pure heart and you call on God, something's going to happen. But you got to call on God. You got to fast. You got to pray. You got to study. You got to be concerned about the gospel and lost souls. I want you to stand with me. The light sevenfold in the evening time. I found that sevenfold light. I've made contact with that divine inspiration of heaven. There is a jubilance in my heart, such as the average man will never experience in all the days of his life. But we're living in the age when we can experience it. We're living in the age when we can make contact. But it's going to take faith. Out of a whole congregation, I never felt one contact tonight. Not one. Not because there isn't good people here, but because there's not enough hunger. There's not enough thirst. Your motives are different one to another. Your plans are different. Why you came here? So much variety in your thoughts. When we're supposed to be in unity of one mind and one accord. All of us in one mind and one accord. On the day of Pentecost, every one of them was in one mind and one accord. But we haven't got one mind and one accord here tonight. We've got many minds, numbers of accord. No contact. Why is it? Because the grace of God is beginning to lift from the earth. More and more to your sorrow, you're going to see this. More and more. There's going to come a time when you'll pray, but there won't be any contact. The preacher will preach, but there won't be any contact. Men will cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them, but there'll be no contact with God. The Bible said they'll throw their money to the bats. The men that have great wealth will literally throw it out into the streets to the bats. Cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them. It won't make any difference then if you're a follower of Brother Roberts or a follower of Brother Osborne or a follower of Brother Branham or a follower of Brother Pike. It won't make any difference who you're following if you've not made that contact with God. It'll be too late. God is trying to get you to make contact with Him. To have that experience with God. I believe that there's people of God here tonight. I believe that with all my heart. But I actually believe that you're in such a condition of condemnation and unconcern and lack of hunger and thirst until you go for days without making the divine contact that you need to make with God. For days. You get into a rut to where as long as you can struggle through and just get a little sip, just a little touch, you feel like you're all right. But to really make a contact with God and feel the overflowing of the great Spirit of God and your cup running over and feel the power of God surging through your body, you go for days and months and you never feel that. You don't make that contact. But I don't see how you live like that. I don't see how you exist like that. How can a child of God go on like that? I can understand the world because they don't know. But how can we as children of God go on like that? We've got to have that divine contact, that inspiration, that heavenly touch from God. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor can get up here and sing, or I can start singing, or somebody else can start singing. Immediately you can feel that contact. You know why? Because you're babies. Little bitty babies. Or somebody said, bless God, I ain't no baby, I'm fast. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Israel fasted. Fasted and fasted and fasted and fasted and fasted. And then turned her face to heaven and said, wherefore have we fasted and thou takest no knowledge, O God? He said, because your motives wasn't right, your plans wasn't right. You didn't fast for the right reason. Is this the fast that I've chosen? Jesus said that a man should bow down his head like a bulrush. Is that the fast that I've chosen? Is it not to loose the bands of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to take the poor and sick into your house? Isn't this the fast that I've chosen? Isn't pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world? Isn't that God's way? That's the sacrificial fast God has chosen. But are you doing that? Every man is turned to his own way, and God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Let's sing a little chorus together. We sing, and then, as I said, we make contact. Why? We can't make contact through that word. We can't make contact through that word, because the meat is for the strong. They have, by reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. But when we sing and we make melody, and we start that as babes, we make contact. That's good. That's good. That's wonderful. But folks, the church has been doing that for years. The Baptists do that. The Methodists do that. The Church of God does that. The UPC does that. Practically all of them does that. But that's not what it's going to take to translate the church. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. But he said in the latter times there would be a fountain open in the house of David, where the deep would call into the deep at the water spout of God. And out of your innermost beings would flow that river of living water. The brothers sang the song, "The River of God, the River of God." Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus we sang this morning, "A Stream is Flowing," can we? I want you to look up to God, and I want you to whisper a prayer. And the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. And ask God to help you, and ask God to do something for you. A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. A stream is flowing from Calvary. Can you sing it with me? A stream is flowing from Calvary. A stream is flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame in Jesus' name. Our stream is flowing from Calvary. You believe a stream is flowing tonight? Christ has got a stream that's flowing from Calvary tonight. The river of God is flowing down from out of heaven. And the voice is saying, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. Christ, the great healer. Christ, the God of salvation. Christ, The Bible said when Christ, your life, shall appear, my life and your life, that stream is flowing from heaven tonight. Lift your hands up with us, will you? Can God save tonight? Can God save tonight? Can God save tonight? Can God actually save from a lake of fire tonight? Is there faith tonight for salvation? When the faith seems to be so small in the church, is it strong enough to actually take us over the fire? If it cannot keep us and it cannot heal us, if it cannot deliver us and cannot keep us through the evil days that we're facing, can it actually save our souls from a burning lake of fire? Examine yourselves tonight and see if you be in the faith. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, be in the faith? The Bible said that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Are we in the faith tonight? Has God really saved our soul tonight? Are you really a Christian tonight? Hallelujah. While they're playing on the instruments tonight, you examine your hearts and lives. I think it would be good. I think it would be good tonight that we made a new dedication to God, don't you? The light sevenfold in the evening time. And the translating light of God that's here. The revelation. Have you got it tonight? Have you got it tonight? We sing the song. Have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible reads? You'd better get it. You'd better get it. You'd better get it like the Bible reads. In expounding the Word of God to you tonight, trying to help you to see, trying to get your eyes open, have you made contact with God? Have you felt the divine presence of Christ? Not that you have to be here to feel it. You can feel it anywhere. If you've really got your hand in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, if you're really walking side by side with God, if you're enduring and seeing Him who is invisible, you can feel it wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, you can feel it. But as long as we bicker and we backbite, and as long as there is division, Paul said, are you not yet carnal? Are you not yet carnal? Are you not yet carnal, Paul said? If your conversation is about your brethren, your fellow man, if your thoughts is about making money, your job, and how you're going to pay your bills, if your thoughts are of such that you're trying to figure out whether I'm right or another man's right or who's right and who's wrong, are you not yet carnal? Do you have time in this limited age? Do you actually have time to sit around and figure out who is and who is not? Are you not yet carnal? When you sit and talk to your wife about the conditions of the church, are you not yet carnal? Or is it that you're not fasting for the church?
Do you have time to sit around and bicker and backbite, trying to decide who is and who is not? Are you not yet carnal? Why is it you're not praying and seeking God? Why is it you're not calling on Christ? Why is it you're not praying for some lost soul? Why is it you're spending your time in such a degraded, ungodly manner to displease God? Are you not yet carnal? Shouldn't my time be spent in prayer? Shouldn't my time be spent in searching my heart to see if I'm right with God? Shouldn't my time be spent in the meditation of His laws day and night? Do I have time out from the meditations of God to harass another or to try to find out who another is or what he is? What difference does it make? There was a fellow in the Bible that tried to do that. And he came over and he said, "Lord, you've said what I'm to do and you said what this fellow's to do, but what about this fellow?" And he politely told him in his own words, he said, "That's none of your business. You're supposed to be doing something else, meditating in the laws of God day and night. What I do with him is my business. That's none of your business. It's none of your business, you that live in the Carolinas, as to what God does with me. That's none of your business." That's great plainness of speech, isn't it? It's none of your business. It's none of your business, you that's from Tennessee, what God does with me. Or you that's from Texas, what God does with me. Or from Illinois or wherever you might be, it's none of your business. That's God's business. It doesn't matter what you think about Brother Pike. God has no respect to what you think about me. God wants to know what you think about Him. And you need to know what God thinks about you. It's none of your business what God thinks about me. The Bible said you don't have the right to judge another man's servant. To God he standeth or falleth. It's none of your business. Jesus said to him, said, "If I would that he should tarry till I come, what's that to you?" It's none of your business. If you're concerned about me, then pray for me. If you're concerned about me, then tell somebody that I'm a brother. If you're concerned about me, don't tear me down. If you're concerned about me, go your way and tell somebody that I've been preaching the gospel and trying to win souls. If you think I'm a liar and a devil, stay away. And don't come down here. But if you're going to be part of me, take my arm and take my hand and strengthen me in my work for Jesus. If you can't strengthen me and stand with me, why come here? Why jeopardize your soul and waste my time? But if you love me, Jesus said you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There's some commandments that go forth from this tabernacle. You know what they are? That we should serve God in righteousness and holiness all the days of our life. That we should be clean and upright, make clean paths for ourselves, straight paths for ourselves, that the lame should be healed and not turned aside. What does it take to deliver the people? Somebody said fasting. No, that's not what it takes. Somebody said, "Well, prayer." That's not what it takes. That's not the Bible said. But the Bible said, make straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. You can fast all you want to and pray all you want to, but that won't do it. We've got to have a straight path. John said, make the crooked way straight. Because it's not by power or might that we can do it, but it's by God's Spirit. It is God's Spirit that has to do it. And God's Spirit can only come into our lives and into our hearts when we make straight paths. God will not walk a crooked path.
He speaks of a crooked and a perverse generation. You know, the serpent follows a crooked trail, isn't that right? He follows a crooked trail. Somebody said one time, you can always tell a serpent because his tongue is always gossiping, always going, always saying things that's unlike Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? I'm going to pray for you in just a few minutes. This little girl here, she come to me the other day and she was sick. She said, my stomach's hurting. And we prayed for her and God touched her and she stood there and she was carried away as she felt the Spirit of God. And I noticed she remembered that. Tonight, she come back up here to be prayed for again. Even little children know, don't they? They know. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more little chorus and then we're going to pray for those that want to be prayed for. Pray for the little lad there. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus, oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. Of his unveiled face. Of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. The other little chorus we sang helps us to understand what he meant when he said to make straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. And the song goes like this. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in God's Son. It's sin thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. And if you want to be prayed for, if you'll come up here, we'll pray for you. I want to pray for this little fellow here in this wheelchair, this cripple. You know, I saw something that really got me. I was in Brother Branham's meeting. I went downstairs, down underneath. He was in about a three-story building there, one that had a balcony. And when I got down there, I saw all kinds of people like this little child, crippled, twisted up. in bad shape. And I was standing down in the little part. It was dark where I was at. Nobody could see that I was there. Nobody knew that I was there except Billy Paul. There might have been one or two other, but as far as I know, it was pretty well concealed between me and Billy. And I was over here in the shadows. And Billy said, Brother Pike said, stand right here. Said, Brother Branham will be in a few minutes to pray for these. There were stretcher cases, such cases. They didn't bring him up on the level where he was at in that particular meeting. And I stood over there, and I'd heard such great things about the man until I was literally shocked when he came into the lower parts of the building. And he walked over to where they were. And I expected to see them jump up out of the wheelchairs and off of the beds. And it shocked me when I heard a meek, humble little fellow walk over to them and quietly state to them, said, there's nothing I can do. Said, it's up to God. Said, you've got to believe. There's nothing that I can do except pray for you. And to my utter amazement, he prayed a simple prayer. Nobody was healed. Nobody got up. Nothing happened, and turned around and walked off. Not one thing happened that I could see. Not one thing. But in my heart, I had confidence that something had taken place. I believe that. As a proof of my faith, I left from down there. And I went up into the third balcony, or the balcony as it was. And I sat there. And when he came out on the platform, I still believed. And I prayed the prayer of faith. And as I did, I touched God. And this great man of God turned around and spoke to me in the name of Jesus and began to tell me some great things. I believed. But you know, God promised a day of full restoration. A full restoration. And he commanded us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. And Brother Branham looked forward to that. I've looked forward to it. Others have looked forward to it. He even spoke of a day of coming back when they would go through a little booth, and everyone that come forward from that booth would completely be healed. Arms would be restored. And Brother Terrell has spoke as of late, saying that we're on the verge of this great, wonderful thing. He also desires it. But it is a true fact, according to what I understand of God, that though this is ours and though it belongs to us, it cannot possibly be until we come into the unity of the faith of Jesus Christ. Until we come into the unity of the faith of Christ, it can never be. But when we come into the unity of the faith of Christ, there is nothing that can stand before the faith of the sons and daughters of God. Not anything. Demons, devils, afflictions, no power can prevail. But until we're willing to link together and believe God, we'll never see the wonderful things that we want to see. Hallelujah. While Brother Taylor comes and sings a little chorus, I want to pray for you. I want us to pray tonight. And I want us to pray with all sincerity. I don't want us to reason. God doesn't want us to reason. You know, we limit God. How many of you know that we limit God when we reason? We limit God. God doesn't want us to reason. We are not to decide what God can do or what God can't do. We are not to decide who God will heal and who God won't heal. Because, you see, the writer has already decided that by expressing God. That's already decided. It said, let whosoever will, and that to as many as believe, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. That's already decided. All God wants us to do is to believe, to pray, and to believe. When we pray, believe. And that's what I want to do tonight. Now, I've seen a lot of wonderful things in my life. And I've seen some things that could be disappointing if I had not understood God. I prayed for some cases, like the little fellow right here. And I've asked the mothers if they were willing to accept God's will about it. And they said yes. And within just a little while, they buried him. God has a way of doing things to heal or to bring about his will. I prayed for one that had been in that condition for many years. And the mother had been tied up at home with him for years, watching after him, nursing him. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and I asked the mother, was she willing to accept what God did? And she said yes. And in a little while, they buried the woman. That doesn't mean that God is going to let people die, but it does mean that he does things his way. There's a brother that's standing here right now. You are so doubtful of Brother Pike. So mockingly toward the ministry because of your own understanding that I don't know why you support this ministry. You support it. But I don't know why you support it. If I had the attitude that you've got, I wouldn't send money to it. I wouldn't give money to it. I wouldn't support it. Because it certainly isn't going to do you any good. That's for sure. With your kind of attitude, it isn't going to do you any good. Because your heart isn't right with God. As somebody said one time, you can be in the bonds of iniquity and the gall of bitterness in your heart, not right with God, and not have any part in a lot in the matter. You're standing right here among the men tonight, right here among the men. Why should you support that which you mock? Why should you waste your substance and your time? I certainly have no desire for your support. And perhaps after tonight I won't get it anymore. But I certainly have no desire for it. I have a desire for your attitude to be right with God. And your attitude would be much better to me than your support. Your support means nothing unless your attitude is right. God said to Moses, tell them to bring a free will offering and something out of their heart. You really haven't supported me anyway because you really believed in what I was doing. You just couldn't find any better thing to do with it. You had to put it somewhere, and you've just about ruined yourself at the other places to where you can't find any fellowship with them, and this is about the only place you could figure to put it. But you can't jump from place to place and church to church. You can't find fault with the ministry in one place and think God's going to receive you into another just because you give your money. That fellow said to Peter, said, let us give you some money. I got another man here, he's a young man. The other's a little older. I got another here, he's also mocking. He's been mocking. But he hasn't mocked before the way he has in this service. He's from the Carolinas. I bring that down to home to where you can know a little better. He's also mocking. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. There's already been a vision of you in a dying condition already. It would be well if you'd consider that kind of knocked you off your pedestal. I feel your spirit changing now. You wouldn't change it at all while you stood here, but that kind of knocked you off the pedestal. Your spirit began to change because of the fear of God. It's a good thing you begin to fear. God isn't mocked. I appreciate that. That's a great weight off of me. It's just like a great stone laying on me when I feel your weighty spirit. Hallelujah. You love the Lord. Jesus knows the intents of your heart tonight, folks. He knows your thoughts. You can't hide your thoughts from Jesus. The Bible said Jesus perceived their thoughts in His spirit. I've got numbers of you here tonight, but I have spared you. You've come into my services, and you've sat back in the balcony, and you've sat out here round and about, and God would show me your thoughts. And I spared you because I didn't want to hurt you. I want to be long-suffering and want to be kind and meek and try to win you, you know. Not to make a spectacle out of you. But I love you and I want to help you. But remember, God's not mocked. He knows what's going on. He knows when there's questions in your heart. He knows when you believe in the man of God. He knows when there's questions in your heart. And like I said tonight, not feeling anybody making contact. Not feeling that divine contact. Jesus said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? Why does thoughts arise in your heart? Why have you gathered yourself together? Is it not against the Christ of God? Isn't that why you've gathered together? I say this not only to you, but to those that hear the tapes. Do we gather together against an individual when we gather together against our brother? Or do we gather together against the Christ? In that you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Who do we gather together against? So then tonight, when we come together, let it be in the unity of the faith, in the bond of fellowship, in the Spirit. I'm going to say this for the brother's good. You broke your spirit enough while ago to get off top of me. That is, to get the weight off of me. But you're not right in your heart with God. I'm saying this for your good. You're not right in your heart with God. And you're playing around with God. Now you listen at me. You're playing around with God. And you're listening to mouths that ought to be stopped. The Bible said some folks' mouths ought to be stopped. And you're listening to mouths that ought to be stopped. And you're playing with God. And you have been playing with God for a long time. But you're just about to run into something that's going to make you quit playing with God. When you run into it, you won't play with God anymore. Brother Pike won't have to stand up and convince you that God's real anymore. Nobody won't have to try to convince you that God's real anymore. We get something in our head and we think we know something when we don't know something as we ought to know. And that we ought to know is that we should mind our own business and not meddle with God's business. See, this is God's business. And we should never meddle with God's business. And the mouths that talk to us, that put things in our ears to meddle with God's business, leave that alone. Don't talk to those people. You say, oh, but I know the brother. I know the sister. You don't know anything as you ought to know. If you know the brother, you'd stay away from him till he got right with God, because he's a troublemaker. And he's also headed for the fire. Let's pray for this little fella right here and ask God to do something for him tonight, will you? Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, because of unbelief, dear God, sickness and sin is in the world. Father, if Eve had believed, there would never have been any sickness, Father. But because of unbelief, Satan has got place in the world. Lord, and his afflicted little children. Lord, and because of sin, he's moved into the world. Distorted little minds and lives and done evil. Oh God, I feel your contact. I feel your faith. I feel your concern. I feel your spirit. I feel your compassion. Dear God, heal this little land. God, restore it to its health. There's nothing too hard for you, Jesus. I ask you to heal this little child. Oh God, completely restore this little mind. Restore this little body. Restore these members. Oh God, this little child is young enough, Lord, that if you should tarry, Father, he could be a great testimony for you. A great testimony. I ask you to heal him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, seeing this little boy reminds me of going through a hospital one day. I've told this before. I was going through the hospital. I went up there to pray for a man. Some of you are familiar with it, that had been crushed by one of his garbage trucks. And we went in and prayed for him. And God showed me he was going to heal him and he'd be all right. And that God was going to let him come out here to the church and testify. Whereas God did heal him and he'd come out here and testify. And his sister came here with tears streaming down her cheeks and testified. But as I left that room, it was getting late. The hospital was about to close. I started down the hallway. As I started down the hallway, I looked into a room. Something drawed my attention to it. And I saw a little warped, twisted up body, like a crown of thorns on his head. I don't know what they had. And he pulled and stretched out and bedfast, and such a pitiful sight. Little old skinny bony arms. I turned my head right quick when I saw it, because something said, pray for him. I turned my head like that. And I said, it's late. I said, it's real late. I said, the hospital's about to close. And it was, because the nurses was coming down the aisleway. And I knew they were closing up right then and there. I just kept going. As I kept walking, my David Paul was right beside me. As I kept walking, I thought it passed it. I thought God understood. I thought everything was all right because it was late. But just as I got to the door and started out, David looked up at me and said, Daddy, I see David standing right yonder. David said to me, said, Daddy, said, did you see that little boy in that room? And it about tore me up. It just about tore me up to pieces. And something spoke in my heart, said, I told you to pray for the little lad. And it just tore me up. And I knew they were about to close the doors. But I turned around and I went back. And I said, oh God, forgive me. I said, I didn't mean to do that. Forgive me, Lord. And I went back and I asked him. I said, do you know Jesus? And in his little feeble way, so pitiful, I said, do you know about Jesus? Are you a Christian? And I asked him about Jesus. Did he know about Jesus? And he referred to something that was wild, Something I knew nothing of. I thought, you don't know about Jesus? And I began to talk to him about Jesus. And I prayed. And as I began to pray, I felt the wonderful presence of God. I felt that same presence that I felt the night I walked into Brother Floyd's daddy's room in the hospital when they gave him up with cancer. And when God healed him at night, I felt that same spirit. I felt that same divine presence, that same compassion. As it began to come down, and I prayed. And as I prayed, I felt God do something for him. I said, oh Lord, I believe you've healed him. But I didn't see nothing happen. Not a thing did I see happen. I only know that he said he accepted Jesus as I talked with him. I came on home confident that God had done something for him. And later somebody come to me and told me they had seen me pray for that little child. Said, Brother Pike, said, did you know the little boy that you prayed for that was bedfast are in the condition that he was? Did you know that he's able now to be up? God is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Isn't it right? Let's believe that for this little lad right here. Let's believe that. Let's not reason and try to figure it out. But let's believe that. Why not believe that for him? After all, is there anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for God. God makes us. God molds us. God creates us. God gives us our sight. God gives us our mental faculties. God gives us our members. Why can't God make this little fellow completely whole and restore him to where he can walk around again? Why can't he do it? Do you believe God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, there's some of you I know that wants me to lay hands on you and pray for you. And I want to lay hands on you. But tonight, while we're praying, I want you to believe. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. And I want you to believe. Hallelujah. I told how we went through a hospital one time praying for the invalids and the cases. Some terrible, terrible conditions. And later went back to the same floor and saw room after room empty. And I was so amazed. I went and asked what had happened. And they said, well, this one's going home and that one's going home and this one's going home. Able to do abundantly above all that we're able to do, ask or think. By the grace of God that works within us. So let's believe. Hallelujah. This little girl come up here tonight. This is one I prayed for the other night when she had the stomachache. And I noticed she's back. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, bless these little children as I lay hands on them, as I feel the divine contact of God. Lord, I felt the divine contact of God as I prayed for that little crippled lad tonight, Jesus. And I believe you've done something for him. And I'm trusting and believing in your great hand, in your great spirit. There's nothing too hard for you, Jesus. And oh God, tonight as I pray for my sister, oh God, as I pray for Sister Anna, Lord, the one that you worked the miracle on, God, just by reading a simple tract. Oh God, I pray that that same miracle faith will continue to keep her well and healthy in Jesus' name tonight. Father, I pray for this sister tonight. I pray that the troubling spirit, oh God, that would oppress her and keep her from the full goodness of God, I pray to be taken away. I pray that the heart of faith will blossom as a rose, Jesus. Oh God, I pray for this little baby tonight. I pray for the home in Jesus' name. Lord, I lay hands on these little ones tonight. And I pray for them in the name of Jesus. I ask you to touch their little bodies tonight. In Jesus' name as I pray for them.
You will
wave your hand upon them, Jesus. And touch him tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus' wonderful name tonight. Touch this little baby. I pray that you'd heal this little baby. In Jesus' name. Touch Sherry tonight. I pray, oh God, that you will heal Sherry tonight.
Just
may your great spirit come down in a magnificent way and heal in the name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister tonight. And in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, I feel the contact tonight. I feel faith tonight out of these hearts. I feel the divine virtue that flowed from the side of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch these little ones as I lay hands on them tonight. The wonderful name of Jesus, Father. Touch them in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch Sister Frances tonight. God, as I pray for her tonight, oh God, may the discouraging spirit, Lord, that would bring a cloud of gloom and doubt, be dispelled tonight, and may her life be filled and refilled with thy presence, oh God. Father, tonight, touch Sister Floyd, and God, the spirit that fights so hard to make her hard, oh God, to keep her from being tender, may that evil power be broken, and may she become tender, Lord, in her heart, submissive, dear God. May the spirit of fear be expelled, oh God, Lord, that the spirit of fear cannot hamper her life. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, touch these little children in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, touch this little girl in the name of Jesus tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister in Jesus' name tonight. Let the great power of God come down in this life. May there be healing. May there be faith in Jesus' name. Touch this little baby in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Touch him in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this little sister in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight and heal. Oh, God, heal the sister tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister in Jesus' name tonight. May the great healing power of God rest upon her. Touch this little child in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Touch these children. I lay hands on them in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch this little lad tonight in Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Richard tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. May the great Spirit of God be upon him. May thy Spirit in a mighty way come down in his heart. And may the troubling doubts and despondencies, God, be lifted. I feel the contact in the name of Jesus. Fathers, I pray for Bob tonight. I pray that thy Spirit would come down. God, move this condemnation out of Bob's heart tonight. Forgive him for it. I feel the contact, Jesus. God, forgive him for every transgression in the name of Jesus. Touch this little child in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch our Brother Arthur tonight. Dear God, I believe Brother Arthur to be a holy man. I believe him to be a clean, upright man. And oh God, I feel that contact. And I pray for the healing of his body. Oh God, may thy great Spirit rest upon him in the name of Jesus. I feel it, Brother Arthur. God, touch Brother James tonight. Oh, dear God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Father, touch him, lead him into that closeness of God with you. Oh, God, I feel that contact. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, I feel your presence, Jesus. I feel the troubling of the waters tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Antley tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that the great Spirit of God would rest upon this great man. May thy power be upon him. May his heart be to thee. Oh, I feel the contact, Jesus. Hallelujah, I feel it tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, touch Brother Gonzalez tonight, Lord, as this heart lifts up to God. Oh, mighty God of heaven, I pray that the power of God would rest upon this great man tonight. And oh Lord, the Spirit of the Lord would lead him. And God, that he will do mighty things for thee. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch Brother Paul tonight. Father, lift this heaviness from Paul's heart, oh God. Help him tonight, Lord, to be tender. Lord, to be submissive. God, to be obedient to the faith, dear God. Help him, Lord, to move condemnation out of his heart. Lord, by turning steadfast unto God, help us to make straight paths for ourselves, Lord Jesus. I ask you to lift up his faith tonight that's cast down. Lift it up, Jesus. Lift it up, Jesus, in your great name. Hallelujah. Father, touch these little ones tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, may thy spirit rest upon this sister. May the great power of God come down tonight. I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the yoke be broken. Father, the unbelief be taken away. Father, for we stand not in our own strength, but oh God, I feel the contact, Jesus. The wonderful name of Jesus, I feel the yoke broken. Hallelujah, in Jesus' divine name tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight. I pray in Jesus' name that every yoke would be broken. Lord, we are not, oh God, I feel your contact tonight. Lord, we are not the ones to decide tonight, but it's up to thee. Lord, we cannot judge another man's servant, for to God they stand or fall. Hallelujah. Master, in Jesus' name tonight, as I pray for Sister Etta, I pray in the name of Jesus that thy spirit will be upon her. May every condemnation be moved, Jesus. May everything be taken away that's unlike thee tonight. May we lift up our heads in Jesus to believe tonight that that divine contact from heaven can come. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for Sister Sheila, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would grant unto her the restoration of her home. And dear God, I pray that you would grant unto her the desire of a heart tonight. May the yoke be broken. I feel your divine contact, Jesus. May it be there tonight in a greater way, Lord, as she releases her faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as we pray for this sister, I pray, Jesus, that you will help her to overcome the evil powers, Lord, that would harass her mind. Jesus, take away the love of the world. Oh, God, let us have the love of Jesus. Hallelujah, I feel the divine contact tonight. Make her strong in the name of Jesus. I feel it right now in the lovely name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the divine spirit of God be here tonight. Lord, in that sevenfold light of the evening time, may it break forth into the heart. Dear God, grant unto her the desire of a heart tonight. Move in the behalf of her companion, Jesus. Lord, we're still praying and still believing. I believe that you're going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up just before we pray for the rest of you.
Humbled with a load of care.
Hallelujah. Don't you believe tonight?
Oh,
how sweet to trust in Jesus just to take him at his word. Don't you believe tonight? Don't you believe tonight? You know, as I lay hands on some of you, I feel the divine contact of God. Why should we go through a whole service and not feel the contact of God? And then come to the altar and humble our hearts and feel the contact. Don't you know it displeases God for us to do that? Don't you know it displeases God for us to do that? Why not trust him? Why not believe in him? Why not yield our hearts? Why not call upon the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. The brother that I spoke of tonight, that has been so careless, that's trying to support this ministry, you've took a change of heart. I feel your spirit. You've took a change of heart. You've took a spirit of repentance. You've took a spirit of acknowledging what I've said is true and believing that what I've told you is true and that really you haven't done right. You know, Jesus said to a man one time, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. When our attitude gets right, we're not far from the kingdom of God. As long as we keep our attitude right, folks, we're not far from the kingdom of God. Tonight, you're getting closer to the kingdom of God. So, lift your heart up. Lift your souls up to God. Pour out your mind and heart to God tonight. And let God do something for you. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, you've seen the efforts of Toby as of late. You've seen a different determination. I feel your contact now, Jesus. Lord God of heaven, I feel you ministering to his soul right now. Oh God, and I know that he feels it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, in your wonderful name tonight, I thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Can't you believe tonight? Can't you believe? Would you believe? Right then and there, God was fixing to speak to Brother Toby. His spirit came up so, and his faith came up so. Just as the word started to come out of my mouth, something dropped and it stopped. Can't you believe? Can't you believe? God is concerned about you. If my hand be raised to heaven, it was coming forth as something dropped. If Tobit had held on a few more minutes. See, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, God will do something for us if we believe. We have unanswered questions in our heart. We desire answers. We want God to speak to us. But how can God speak to us if we do not believe? How can God speak to us? It doesn't make any difference how much I try to believe up here. You know, people come to church and they say, but I sat there with faith through the whole service. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. If you'd have had faith one time, God would have spoke to you. You sat there with your intellectual reasoning, trying to convince yourself that you believe. But the Bible said, with the heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. When you believe, there is a contact. When the little woman believed, there was a contact with her spirit. And the virtue of God came forth and went through her spirit into her body and healed her body. When your spirit goes out to God and believes, then the virtue of God comes down from that angelic world. Hallelujah. Can you believe tonight? Father of heaven tonight. Oh, I feel the contact with Ron tonight. I feel a sincerity. Hallelujah. Father, in the lovely name of your dear son Jesus. Oh God. Hallelujah. In the wonderful name of your son Jesus. Speak to your people tonight. May the great hand of God be upon us. May the great spirit of God rest upon us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus tonight. Father, I ask that the hand of God rest upon Bill tonight. Oh, I feel the contact with Bill's heart and spirit tonight. May thy great power, Lord, come into this life, this spirit of repentance that I feel in Bill. Lord, this desire, oh God, to overcome the outer man. Dear God, hallelujah, I feel your presence right now. May Bill receive a double potion tonight. May he receive strength tonight. And dear God, I feel you doing something for him right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, I feel it, Bill. Praise God, I feel God doing something. Hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. As I pray for Brother John tonight. Dear God, help John. Lord, as he seeks to fellowship thee in the Spirit, Lord, as he desires to know and to understand, may thy great power be upon him. Help him to overcome every intellectual reasoning. Oh God, and may the revelation of Jesus be dropped into his heart. And may we walk after faith and not sight, Jesus. Oh God, may your presence be upon him tonight. Hallelujah. Touch these little children tonight, Jesus. Lay your hands upon them. The wonderful name of Jesus tonight, Father, I pray that you would touch them. Fathers, I pray for our Brother Fontaine tonight. May every troubling spirit be taken away from Brother Fontaine. And I plead the blood of Jesus over this man, that Satan doesn't have opportunity to hurt him, Jesus. May every yoke be broken. Oh God, that contact that I feel from heaven. Hallelujah, may it be. Oh God, may his heart be lifted up. May his spirit be magnified in Jesus tonight. Father, touch Brother Johnny tonight. Lord, I feel the contact as he looks away to God. Hallelujah, I feel it, Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. May we go away richer tonight than we was when we come, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch our brother Roger tonight. May the great love of God rest upon him. Give him strength, Lord, to carry on. Lord, from that divine contact of heaven. Hallelujah, I feel it, Jesus. May it be here tonight. May every person drink from the fountain of living waters. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless Brother John tonight. Dear God, as he comes forth, oh God, looking for the fountain of living waters. May the great Spirit of God rest upon him tonight. May he look away to Calvary tonight. And oh God, that divine presence of Jesus that flows down from yonder world. May it come tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Stretch forth a healing hand to him. Bless him and his family in Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. Touch these little children. The wonderful name of Jesus. Touch Matt tonight, God. I pray that the Spirit of God would rest upon Matt tonight. I pray that the glory of God would overshadow him tonight to give him strength to go on in Jesus' name. Father, touch Willie tonight. May the great love of Jesus. Hallelujah. May the great love of Jesus, that great power from on high, may it rest in this heart in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch Brother Daryl tonight. May the great Spirit of God come down in a magnificent way tonight. Hallelujah, Lord, I feel your presence tonight. Lord, minister to this heart tonight. Minister to this soul tonight. Let the glory of God overshadow Brother Daryl. All his steps aright in the wonderful name of Jesus. Bless his family tonight, God, and keep him in the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight I ask you to bless the sister tonight. Bless Sister Aline, Father. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see the desire of this heart to do something for you, Jesus. Oh God, I believe that you're going to let her do it. I believe you're going to allow her, oh God, to do even more than she's been doing for you. God, let us lay up treasures in heaven. Let that divine principle of God be in our life that causes us to labor for Jesus. Father, bless Sister Beachy tonight. May the mighty hand of God be upon her. May the great Spirit of God anoint her with thy presence. Lord, may her hands be anointed as those that toil for Jesus. Those that labor for Jesus. I feel your contact, Jesus. Lord, encourage your heart. Encourage your faith. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Grant it tonight, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless this sister tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. May her and her home tonight be blessed. Bless Brother Dwight tonight. Oh God, may they labor together as a union of God. May they come together as a team, Father, to labor. Oh Lord, give her a vision for Christ, even as you have granted unto Dwight. I feel the contact now. Grant it in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father. Father, grant this sister your blessings tonight. Father, she desires to be pure and holy in your sight. Father, I pray that you would grant her the desires of her heart tonight as she looks away to Calvary, asking of thee, longing and yearning for thy touch. May it be as I feel the contact of God tonight. Hallelujah. Grant your blessings in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, Father. Father, grant your blessings in Sister Nobby's life tonight. Lord, may your Spirit be with us. May the hand of God be upon us. May the power of God overshadow us tonight. Lord, touch Nobby. Help her, Lord, to return to the faith, Lord, that you one time put within her heart. God, may her and Brother Gonzalez embrace one another in the faith of Christ. May their vision be burning. Oh, I feel that contact now. Stir that heart. Open that heart up. Lift that faith up. Help her to look away to Calvary. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight, heal this body. Father, this poor troubled soul tonight, I pray the hand of God would rest upon her tonight. I pray, Lord, that she would believe as I feel the contact of God. Father, may she submit unto thee and not try to reason things out. For, oh God, let her call upon thee and all will be well with her. In the name of Jesus tonight, I pray that the sister, Lord, with her companion tonight, will join forces hand in hand, Lord, to fight the powers of the enemy and to establish a testimony of Jesus Christ in the earth, that people can be blessed, Lord, through their lives. I ask you to break the yoke in Jesus' name tonight.
He speaks.
Father, tonight as I pray for Brother Lyman, Lord, as he looks away to Calvary tonight, I feel the precious presence of Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I feel your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Minister tonight. I feel you ministering to my brother tonight. In the name of Jesus, bless him. Enlarge the heart of Brother Lyman tonight. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for our brother, I pray that the great Spirit of God would rest upon our brother tonight. And oh God, this troubled mind, Father, Lord, that somebody has distorted, I pray in the name of Jesus that be reconciled to God tonight. Lord, in simplicity, I feel that contact. Oh God, and in faith, let him walk upright. Oh God, I feel you blessing him right now. Lord, open his heart, enlarge his heart, move every condemnation, break every yoke, looking away to Calvary. I feel it, Jesus. Hallelujah, as we believe, healed in Jesus' name. Father, bless Brother Dwight tonight. Help him, Lord, not to be confused, Jesus, but rather to believe. Lord, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. God, you've got better plans ahead for Dwight. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you bless our brother Michael tonight as he looks away to Calvary tonight. Oh God, I feel the contact of heaven. Lord, minister to his family tonight, yonder, Jesus, wherever they're at. Answer his prayers. I feel you blessing him right now. Answer his prayers. Strengthen this man in the might of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless this little child in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for our brother tonight. May the mighty hand of God be upon him. May every evil power vanish away into the night, into nothing. For, oh God, I look to the blood stains of Calvary. I look to the blood that spilt at Calvary. And I see yonder, Lord, as I look and behold the blood stains. Oh God, the freedom, God, from sin. May it be, may the yoke be broken. Hallelujah. And may the powers of God come down into this life tonight. Grant it, cleanse and purge and purify in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Brother Floyd tonight. I pray, dear God, that thy Spirit would move in his life and in his heart. Help him to be more consecrated and dedicated to thee, Lord, to have a greater vision, Lord, to realize that there is nothing in this world, Lord, that is but few days and full of trouble. But, oh God, I feel your presence right now. May the yoke be broken. May condemnation be moved. May the heart become tender. May it become soft in the presence of God as we look to Calvary tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Grant a blessing tonight. Heal this body in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you touch Brother Kim tonight. May his heart be blessed tonight. May he take the tenderness of God into his life. And may he look away tonight to Calvary expecting the blessings of God. Help him to order his steps right for Christ's sake. Father, tonight as I pray for our brother, I lay my hands upon him tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask you to bless him tonight. Touch him in the name of Jesus as I feel the contact of God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name tonight. Heal the body, strengthen him, oh God, in that which you'd have him to do. Oh Lord, as he turns his face toward heaven tonight, toward the bloodstains of Calvary. Hallelujah, as I pray for Tommy tonight. I pray,
in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would touch him tonight. Lord, may every yoke be broken. May condemnation be lifted. And may he look away to the hill of Calvary tonight. Oh God, I feel your contact in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel God tonight. Father, as I pray for this little sister tonight, may the great hand of God be upon her. Lord, look at her in her simplicity tonight and touch her from Calvary. In the wonderful name of Jesus, may her heart be lifted up to thee. May the great hand of God be upon her. May her loved ones be saved. May she see the desire of her soul in Jesus' name. Father, touch little Mitch tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to touch Mitch tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, may thy hand be upon her. Lord, she has turned with her companion from her home. Lord, as Ruth of old did, following after thee, O God. Father, that she might be one of thine. May the hand of God be upon her as I feel that wonderful divine contact of heaven in Jesus' name. Touch this baby in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Touch this little girl in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, everyone wants a touch from thee. And may the great hand of God be upon them. Oh God, I feel your might tonight. I feel your power tonight. I feel your strength tonight. God, in the name of Jesus, touch these people. Hallelujah. Touch Sister Deanna tonight. In the name of Jesus, may thy power and blessing rest upon him in the lovely name of Jesus. Father, touch our sister. Oh God, touch her tonight. Lord, through much grief and sorrow and suffering, Lord, she has attempted to follow thee. I feel your contact tonight. May the hand of God be upon her. May she look away to Calvary for greater heights and depths in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for Jerry, I pray that you would bless Jerry, strengthen Jerry. Oh God, may the yoke be forever broken from off of Jerry. Hallelujah, may he look away to Calvary as I feel Jesus tonight. I talk to thee, Father, I talk to thee tonight about Jerry here in the name of your son Jesus, Father. Father, touch our brother Gary tonight. May the great hand of God rest mightily upon him. May he see the desire of his soul, Jesus. God, as he trusts thee, hallelujah, I pray that you would bless him in his home in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would bless Stevie tonight. May the great hand of God be upon Stevie as he tries so hard, Jesus, to walk with thee. Hallelujah. As he tries to surrender, may every yoke be broken. I feel your contact, Jesus. But help Stevie to get free. Help him to turn that... Oh, God, I feel your spirit. Help him to get free. Help him to turn his life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His life over into the hands of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little girl tonight in Jesus' name. Touch this sister in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, dear God. Lord, may every heavy burden be taken away. And Father, may she not doubt, may she not reason. But God, help her to know that all things are working together for the good, Lord, of her and her companion. And Father, there's better days ahead. I feel your contact of her faith. God, there's better days ahead. There's some bright, sunshiny days, God, that's coming for this couple if they'll hold on to you. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch her. Lord, bless our sister tonight. May the great hand of God be upon her. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your contact, Jesus. And I feel your presence tonight. Help her to look away tonight to the blood stains of Calvary. Lord, for there is cleansing in the blood. There is cleansing in the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel your deliverance, God. May the hand of God touch her. Hallelujah. May thy spirit rest mightily upon her, God. Lord, bring about a restoration. Bring about a healing. Bring a vision. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Father, touch this sister tonight. May thy spirit be upon her tonight. May every evil power be dispelled from her life. God, may every yoke be broken tonight. May her heart melt down within the Christ of Calvary. Lord, may she believe from her heart tonight. I pray for the healing of a body. I pray, dear God, for the forgiveness of sins in her life. I pray the great hand of God would be upon her and upon her companion in Jesus' name. Father, as I pray for my sister tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus that your spirit would be upon her. I pray for the healing power of God. Lord, may she look away to Calvary tonight. May she have a greater vision for spiritual things than for natural things. Help her to realize that life does not consist of the abundance of things that one possesses. But oh God, that her life is in Christ and her hope is in Christ. And God, that is the only hope that we have. I ask it in Jesus' name. Touch this little baby in Jesus' name tonight. Touch Gracie in the wonderful name of Jesus and bless her little body. Hallelujah.
Till my rapture.
Father, touch Mitch tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God rest upon Mitch. May the troubling spirits, dear God, Lord, be expelled. And oh God, may there come a strength and may there come a tenderness in Mitch's life. Lord, he's reaching up for a tenderness. God, when we see the tender hands of Calvary, when we see the tender heart of Calvary, Lord, then we sing the song within our heart to be like Jesus is our desire. I pray, Lord, as he looks to Calvary tonight, that tenderness, Lord, that faith, that confidence would come. Lord, strengthen Mitch. Strengthen his life. Strengthen his body. Strengthen his mind. Strengthen his plans. Strengthen his faith. Strengthen his ambitions. Hallelujah. I feel you doing it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, may every condemnation leave, Jesus, for the blood stains. God has washed away every stain of sin. Father, bless our brother tonight. May the glory of God rest upon him. May the great Spirit of God come down upon him in the power of deliverance. Have your way tonight. God bless him. Multiply, oh God, through his life, through the testimony of Jesus Christ. I pray that he'd be a great blessing and a testimony. Oh dear God, wherever he goes, I feel the yoke giving right now, Jesus. I pray that that divine contact, hallelujah, would be there. I feel it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I appreciate Brother Richard tonight.
Someday for
Brother Richard came here having to be on medicine with regularity, going to a mental institution every few months, but he gave his life to God, turned his heart to Christ. He was able to leave off with the medicines, he was able to leave off with the mental institution, and he's continued to enjoy life at Little Bethlehem. That's worth it all, isn't it? If we'd never built Little Bethlehem for no other reason but that a man might have a restoration of life, that's worth it all, isn't it? Hallelujah. If you've never traveled the paths of sorrow, you wouldn't understand. But he could tell you about the paths of sorrow. Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Father, I thank you for Brother Richard tonight. May the hand of God rest upon him. Lord, and may you use this great intelligence that you put in his life and heart, Lord, to reach the Jewish people. Not only the Jewish people, but as I feel the divine contact of the mighty Holy Ghost, Lord, may you also endow him with the power and the testimony of Christ, that he might be a blessing among the Gentile people also. I ask your blessings upon him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for Cynthia, I pray that every condemnation will be moved out of her heart. Dear God, that she'll have a greater vision for thee, O Lord. May thy blessings be upon her and upon her companion and her concern, dear God, and the little trio's concerned about David. Dear God, I ask you to answer that concern. Dear God, may it be so. I'm believing you, Jesus, as I feel the divine contact in the heart of Cindy and her concern tonight. Answer that concern in the lovely name. name of your divine Son Jesus. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Sister Dosh tonight. I pray that the great Spirit of God would be upon her, and the depression, God, that has come over her life be taken away. For, oh God, all is not empty and all is not void. But, oh God, when our ways please thee, you make our enemies to be at peace with us, God. May we search out the old paths and walk in the old paths that we might find rest to our soul, God. Let us not say within our heart, God, the former days was better than these. For God, you say that we do not inquire wisely. But, oh God, this is a great day, a great and a mighty day. Father, let us yield as I feel the divine contact with my sister. Lord, I know that the yoke is broken in Jesus' name. Father, touch Sister Lynn tonight. God, as she tries to shape in her life to please thee, may the great power of God rest upon her tonight. Jesus, as she looks away to the blood stains of Calvary, as she sees the hands of Jesus dripping with the blood, oh God, for the atonement of sin, I feel your divine contact. May her heart be lifted. May her faith be lifted. All is not in vain, Jesus, for there is much joy ahead if we can believe in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless this little child in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, bless my sister tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that there would be a restoration in this home. Dear God, help us not to suffer as evildoers. But God, if we suffer, Lord, for a testimony of the righteous, then God, happy are we. And I pray that the life of God would be in this home. I pray that her companion would have the wisdom of God, Lord, in the discretion of his life and the order of his footsteps. And may they take thee into their heart, into their lives. Oh God, may this yoke be broken. May this cloud of gloom be dispelled. Hallelujah. I feel you doing it now. In the name of Jesus, I feel the yoke breaking. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
To be like me.
Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray for this little lad. I pray for Vicky tonight. Oh God, may this troubles sin-tossed soul, God, be able to anchor steadfast in the rock of ages. Oh God, may the contrary winds of thought and doctrines not toss this little boat about, Lord, and through life. But God, may it be anchored. Look down from heaven and break the yoke. Unite Joe and Vicky together in a great strength, in a great power. Let them be a unit, oh God, of testimony. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, grant the blessings to my mother tonight, Lord, according to the request. I pray that you would take care of them, oh Lord, and restore the home, dear wonderful God, Lord of Debbie and Kenny. I pray in Jesus' name that you grant your blessings tonight. Hallelujah.
By grace forgive.
Hallelujah. Can you stand and sing it with us?
And
King to heaven,
I
only ask to be like him. Sing it one more time, can you? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I'm old, to be like him, all through life's journey.
Are you contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God? Are you believing that God is going to heal the sick and do something special, something outstanding? Do you believe that God can let us control the weather as he did back in the old days that's gone by? The faith that God gave to the saints when Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still? Do you believe that it's within our power tonight to break the yoke and set the captive free? To preach the delivering of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free?
Do you believe that God has placed it within the hands of mankind to be able to have a testimony of the resurrection of the dead? Do you believe it? The Bible said, therefore, leaving the foundation of repentance, let us go on unto perfection. Hallelujah. Foundation of repentance is good. But if we have to repent over and over and over, we're laying the foundation over and over, and we'll never be able to finish the building. But let us go on to be perfect in God. And the Bible said, be as many as be perfect, let us be thus minded. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's go on to be perfect in God. Let us pray. Let us fast. Let us study. Let us be concerned. Let us contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. I intend to contend. What about you? I believe. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the reason I don't believe, but I believe. I'm contending because I believe. I believe that it's for us. And I intend to pray. Hallelujah. Like I said to my little son David tonight when I was talking to him, the devil's really been fighting Ricky, been fighting Dave, and been fighting my children. I said, Dave, I prayed for you, son. I prayed. Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. I prayed for you. And I said, if I pray all night, David, and that won't do it, then I pray another night. If I pray another night and he won't do it, then I pray another night. And if I pray another night and he won't do it, I'll pray another night. And I'll keep on praying until God hears me. And God does something about it. God promised he would do it. And I'll keep praying until God hears me and God does something about it. I'll be like the little widow that kept going to the unjust judge. He said, though I don't fear God and I don't fear man, said that little widow is about to drive me out of my mind, so to speak. With her continual coming, she's made me weary. I will avenge her to get her out of my presence and to keep her from wearying me. And the Bible said if the unjust judge would do that for the widow, how much more will God heed the prayers of those that call upon him day and night? So then we will pray, we will talk to God, we will fast, we will continue to go on for God. And we will continue to call on the judge saying, do it, do it. The Bible said, do it. The Bible said, do it. The Bible said, do it. Hallelujah. The Bible said it. Amen. If the Bible said it, the Word said it, it's settled in heaven. God's Word cannot be altered or changed. So then we must do it. We must do it. God is faithful who cannot lie. He has promised. He has promised he will do it. And I intend to be one of them that trust him. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think you're beside yourself. I think I am too. And Paul said, beside myself for Jesus. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Let's sing a little chorus together before we dismiss. The service might have seemed a little lengthy tonight, but there were some people that wanted a touch from God. And I tell you, some people got a touch from God tonight. They got a touch from God tonight. I really believe that in my heart. Jesus said, if thou canst believe. If we can't believe, then we can't have anything. If we can believe, he said, all things are possible to them that believe. If I'm a believer, that means there ain't nothing that's impossible to me. Now, God might not work it the way I think it ought to be worked, but there ain't nothing impossible to him that believe. And I believe. I believe. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Hallelujah. The song says, there's many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. But he finally, in essence, said, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Serving God is joy unspeakable and full of glory to me. Hallelujah. I fight the devil all the time. All the time I fight him. That's true. I fight him all the time. Hallelujah. I fight him all the time. But I always win the battle. Glory to God, Paul said, that always gives us the victory. Always gives us the victory. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. Every one of them. The only time we don't get delivered out of an affliction is when we give up our faith. Isn't that right? The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away. Hold on. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap. If you faint not, somebody would say, but I want it now. But Jesus said, wait for my season. In due season, I know when you need it. I know when you need it. I'm processing you. I've got something I'm trying to make you do. But I know when you need it. And in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Oh, that makes me feel good. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, not after a day or two, but after many days, it shall return unto thee. I believe. Don't you believe? You know what? That's the first contact that I've really felt tonight. I hit a mainspring there somewhere, and you decide to believe. And you know what? What did it? Was when I reminded you that he don't do it when you get ready, but in due season. That struck it rich. That struck it rich. You got to thinking, well, wait a minute. Maybe this thing is right. Maybe I'm just a little bit hasty. I can assure you, it'll come. A little girl used to sing a song, and it'll always tear me up. I'd cry, you know. Betty and I was out on the field, and we were struggling, and we didn't hardly have nothing and nobody to look to, and we're struggling. Naturally, you want a little something for your wife, you know. You see her, she's thin, and the little children are thin, and you're just going everywhere, you know. And of course, she ain't so thin now, but, you know, just going here and there and everywhere, you know. And this little girl, she would sing this song. And we was in that area. She would get up and sing a song. And I never heard it before. It's just a song she sang. You can't hurry God. You have to wait, my brother. Take him at his word that you have heard. Take him at his word, and someday or another, he will come and answer your prayer. Boy, that would tear me all to pieces. It even does it now. When I think about it now, it still tears me up. Someday, he'll come and answer your prayer. Hallelujah. I feel God, don't you? Someday, keep praying. Keep praying. The devil will say, but Brother Pike, I've had him to do this. He'd say, but Brother Pike, you know, he'll talk to you. How do you know he talked to you? He wants to be a brother to you, you know, if he can cut your throat while you ain't looking. He'd say to me, he'd say, don't you know all them people that's been blind all these years? So just think how many of them people that's called on God and he's never opened their eyes. All them many years they've walked in blindness and called on God, but they're just as blind as ever. And the cripples and the helpless. But did you know he'll never tell you about the ones that received their sight? He'll never tell you about the ones that was healed. There's been some healed. There's been some that's received their sight. Not a whole lot, but who's to blame? You and I are. You and I are. The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself, lest the lame be turned aside, rather let it be healed. Isn't that right? Someday or another, God will come and answer your prayer.